Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're having a walk in the deserted hills today where we're not going to infect anyone. No one's going to infect us, so we're very lucky to have this. We've just been standing on top of the hill looking over Barmouth, and the car park is virtually empty. Now normally today, Sunday, which is now the beginning of the school holidays, it would be absolutely rammed. So I think people are really taking the lockdown seriously, which is good news for us because this means that the town's not going to be packed with infected people, so that's really great.
Yeah.
Our survival plan is not to get it.
Yeah, it's a lovely day, and it's really blue day, very, very pretty, and the celandines are popping out along the path, and it's we've just been watching a hawk doing this thing, and there's some chuffs over there doing that. In fact, there's the hawk there again. We're getting so familiar with this. We've got names for him. That one's Emrys.
Yeah.
And he's a big, handsome beast. Anyway, I'm sure you like to have your weather report and your nature report.
So before we get onto the main topic, just something we were talking about as we were walking up the hill to get to this point. I've not seen the government actually mentioning any plans for the homeless people in the UK. The herd immunity plan just seemed to be more or less just let them die. So I don't know
why I'm laughing, but you know.
Well, it was kind of that for everybody, really, wasn't it?
Take it on the chin.
Yeah, but now that they were pretending to take stuff a lot more seriously, perhaps we should say, I've not heard them any mention of how they're going to treat these people, how they're going to help these people. I don't know if anyone else has. But I've been trying to pay attention to what they've been doing, and they seem to be very quiet on that front.
Yeah. I'm not sure either, to be honest with you, and I know it's...
I mean, these people have no access to... They can't wash their hands or self-isolate, or they've probably got malnutrition, and, you know, they're in very unhealthy conditions. Yeah. So... they should be pulling the stops out to really help these people, and I've not seen anything.
I think it'll be the voluntary sector picking up the loose ends on that. But don't quote me, because I'm not really sure.
So moving on to the topic of this podcast, which is naturally occurring communism, as we do actually have quite a lot of that going on right now.
Yeah.
Of course, there is quite a lot of selfishness too, but also I feel very heartened by how communities are coming together. Like round here, for instance, a couple of my friends in the rural villages in Wales have said they've had notes through the door saying, does anybody want any help? And one of them said, if you're in trouble and you can't contact us, just leave a white handkerchief tied around your doorknob, or a white tea towel, or just something just to indicate that you need somebody to knock the door and to give you assistance, which I thought was like really beautiful.
It is, yeah.
So, in the light of recent events, what would you want to add about naturally occurring communism?
Well, you're right. We're seeing plenty of examples of it. And... certainly some of the initiatives seem to get taken by people prior to the government getting around to sort of making it their directive or their strong advice. And there's a lot of people helping each other out. There is a movement for forming mutual aid groups in communities. I think there's some hundreds of these now. I'm going to check that out, actually, because I think they've... extra coordinating through the internet. This is great stuff. And it's what I mean by naturally occurring communism, is the way people spontaneously help each other. And you're going to do a bit of an evolutionary biology thing on this. Obviously, you have to be careful with these kind of approaches. But human beings are almost certainly hardwired for empathy. I mean, obviously not everybody has it to the same degree. And I mean, we know about mirror neurons, which is a very cunning way of enabling us to feel other people's feelings by unconsciously mimicking their body language and their muscular tension patterns. And there's a whole area of the brain that gets us doing that, and I think you're a very empathic people. People are very sympathetic to others. Probably got a very developed mirror neuron system, you know, maybe what you call emotional intelligence, certain kind of bright neurological connectivity. So, just really to counter arguments that say, well, human beings are just intrinsically selfish, it's every man for himself, and the rational actor pursues his own interest. And you know, certain right-wing economic theories proceed as though that was the case. You know, we might well be hardwired for that as well. But human beings do seem spontaneously, in many historical epochs and in many parts of the world, under the imperatives of a whole range of cultures, they do seem to support each other and be kind to each other and sacrifice for each other when the going gets tough. And that's what I call naturally occurring communism. And I maintain that actually the human species wouldn't be here. And I maintain that a society like ours, as selfish as it's become after Thatcherism and Reaganomics, nevertheless wouldn't function without naturally occurring communism. And those little acts of kindness and help that happen everywhere, that happen in factories and in shops and in places of work and in schools, when somebody does somebody a favour just because they do, not necessarily because they want to return on it, even though they are likely to get it, a return favour. And that actually keeps the world ticking over. Just trying to imagine, if you do the thought experiment of trying to imagine the world without it, and you can see, despite all the economic systems and exchange and people pursuing their ends, that society just wouldn't function without it. Naturally occurring communism. I think this is a good reply to people who say, show me a country where socialism has ever worked. Socialism being some kind of precursor to communism, we understand it like that. And I say to you, you know, show me a country or a state, a nation state, in which naturally occurring communism is not already present and necessary. And I think if we start thinking about that, we know what we have to build on. And there's very little to celebrate in this current crisis. It's pretty fucking ghastly. But nevertheless, it is revealing many, many things about our situation. And in previous podcasts, I've pointed out how it reveals the shortcomings of markets and just the whole neoliberal myth. But also how it exposes the true relative value of workers. I think it might have been yesterday or the day before I released a podcast in which I maintained that the least valued are the most valuable in many instances. But another thing that it's revealed, or it's bringing into sharp focus, is how naturally occurring communism is a feature of human life that finds a way to express itself in all kinds of circumstances, is alive and well, and actually finding itself enhanced and invigorated by this current situation. And we're seeing lots and lots of examples of it. Even in some cases, even from capitalists. And I was particularly impressed by the footballer guy who must have bought a hotel with the fortune he made out of his talents, and he just gave it to the NHS and said, look, we'll keep employing our workers. And if you have any doctors that can't go home because they're worried about a vulnerable person at home or they're worried about getting infected at home, that we'll give them a hotel room and our staff will look after them so that they can keep working in the NHS. That's naturally occurring communism. It's just a pure act of fellow feeling.
I wonder if this naturally occurring communism, which seems to be springing up everywhere at the moment, is still going to carry on after the crisis is finished, because I think it has a chance to. because now people have really sort of had a taste of it, and the communities have come together much, much more than they have been maybe for a long time. People will want to carry it on.
Indeed, and I hope you're right. But my thought is that it would be desirable, obviously. But I'm sure that we will have to work for it. The right isn't going to lie down and not attempt to take advantage of this crisis and its fallout. You know, Steve Bannon, the arch organiser of the Right International, actually says, you can find a quote of him saying, well, you know, we need to break everything. Why break things? There's this nihilism at the heart of that project. Somebody called it a weaponisation of the death instinct. this sort of joyful glee in destruction. And his idea is that things can be destroyed, systems can be destroyed, that this new Fourth Reich or whatever his vision is, his kind of Nazi utopia, can spring up out of the ruins. And they're organised, and they're very good at the propaganda war. I mean, at the end of the day, the thing destroys itself because it's in the thrall of the death instinct, which, you know, it has a love of destruction that will destroy itself. And we saw the example with Mussolini and Hitler. Eventually, well, there was a huge outburst of energy on the part of that orientation to life, followed by absolutely destructive catastrophe and two cities in Japan destroyed by nuclear warheads to bring the thing to a halt. So, you know, I'm wanting to say and warn that there'll be a lot of resources and effort and money and even a certain amount of twisted brain power devoted to the task of using this catastrophe for a far-right project. And we're going to have to fight for it. And we're going to have to build on the naturally occurring communism. The beauty of naturally occurring communism is it provides us with all these raw materials and this information with which to expand that aspect of human existence and social organisation and make it actual on a big scale. And I would say it's necessary. It's not just a luxury. It's not just a fantasy. I would say it is necessary. It's regenerate or die. It's not the case that business as usual will be possible after this catastrophe.
And some ways, this catastrophe could be seen as really a bit of a dress rehearsal for the massive climate crisis that we're going to be encountering very soon anyway.
Yeah.
So we really need the naturally occurring communism to continue because we've got more problems ahead.
Yeah.
Big problems.
Yeah.
We're going to need to work together if we're going to survive.
We need to nurture it, build on it, fight back its enemies, or perish. Or perish.
Okay. I hope you found that interesting. We're still alive. We hope you're doing okay out there. Stay safe and we'll see you soon.
Yeah. Wash your hands.